You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Do you remember the resources available for those who give this month? You can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go to our first caller today, Ken, in British Columbia, Canada, listening on the web. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. I've got a friend, and he's a pastor, actually, but he believes that once a person dies and goes to hell, he believes hell is not forever. You know, he says to me, how can a loving God send somebody to hell forever? He believes that they will have a second chance. I have a lot of trouble with that.
Well, you ought to have a lot of trouble with that. And a loving God is not going to force anyone who does not want a relationship with him in this life into a relationship with him for all eternity. That would be a torture worse than hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, again, a torment worse than hell. And so I think the very notion that people are not going to be eternally separated from God is a notion that would also negate the idea that there's everlasting life, because everlasting life and everlasting torment or everlasting judgment are juxtapositioned one against the other. So the bottom line from a Christian worldview is that we all have an opportunity to respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience, and if we respond to light, we will receive more light, we'll have the light of Christ, and we can either follow that light or we can reject that light. All who are in hell ultimately are there because that is precisely what they wanted. And therefore, hell is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice, as has been well said. I think Chesterton said that many, many years ago.
Thank you very much. And the Lord is now, today is a day of salvation.
Yeah, the Bible's pretty clear about that, and common sense dictates that without hell, there's no need for a Savior, and there doesn't have to be a whole lot of conversation about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there's no hell to save us from. I like to say, without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice, and without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. And as much as people would like to think that all will be saved in the end, common sense precludes the possibility. I've often quoted C.S. Lewis on this point, where he said that he would pay any price to be able to say truthfully that all will be saved. But his reason retorts, with their will or without it. If one says without their will, well, you at once perceive a contradiction, because how can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? On the other hand, if you say with their will, reason replies, how, if they will not give in? And so the conclusion for C.S. Lewis was that there are only two kinds of people in the end: those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. All who are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there would be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek will find. To those who knock, the door will open. And I've said this before, and perhaps I can repeat this in conclusion. It's not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
You got to thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John next. He's listening in British Columbia as well, two Canadian listeners listening on the web. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've got a question for you. I'm an educator, and I'm a Christian, and we're being expected to now go into class 2 and 3s and teach sexual orientation and teaching kids about homosexuality. And I know that there's several of us that are educators, that are Christians, that are going to refuse to do such thing. So my question is to you, how do we keep our jobs and still maintain our sovereignty as Christians?
Well, it's a hard question to answer, and I think ultimately to act against conscience is a very dangerous thing to do. Your conscience is held captive by the Word of God, and therefore we don't ever go against conscience. And there is a price to be paid for that. I can tell you that I have, throughout my entire ministry, followed truth wherever it leads, and the price that has been exacted upon me in many ways has been enormous. And yet, that is precisely what we are called to do, because we are not looking for temporary pleasures. We're looking for eternal commendations. And so I think what has to be done in this particular case is that you communicate what you communicate with gentleness and with respect, and that is that God puts parameters around our lives, and if someone is truly open-minded, they ought to allow you to have your point of view as well. And so you're freely expressing your point of view, but you're doing that in a way that is loving. I've often used the analogy of my own cancer. If the doctor, when he diagnosed that I had mantle cell lymphoma, told me that I was perfectly fine when he knew full well what the bone marrow biopsy revealed, he wouldn't really love me. He would be demonstrating that he didn't really care about me at all. But the doctor told me what my condition was so that I could deal with my condition. So the ultimate love is to tell the truth, but to do that with gentleness and with respect. And it is simply your point of view. Your point of view is based on a biblical worldview, and you ought to be expressing that in an open culture, a place where there's freedom of the expression of ideas. And I think that ought to be communicated as well. People who do not allow for the free exchange of ideas are closed-minded and, quite frankly, quite bigoted. You want to be able to tell someone that God places parameters around their lives and what the biblical worldview communicates. And you can also communicate what the LGBTQI community communicates and why, and you can expose the argumentation so that the flaws appear self-evident. And I think that is what I would do as an educator, but I don't think we have to back away from the truth.
The school system has already established that this is the direction that they want to go. And if I'm going to work within a public school setting, I have to adhere to their rules and their regulations.
So, but what are they asking you to say?
They're asking us to orientate kids, to teaching them about condoms and teaching them about, sex. Now, I'm not going to do that, but I think
that there's a broader conversation that could be had. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if you teach people about condoms, you can also at the same time teach them about commitment. Now, if you are now stifled in your freedom of speech and they fire you for it, I mean, that is the price that is paid for standing for truth, no matter what the cost. But I think that this is a wonderful opportunity to talk about commitment and about how women are being shortchanged and exploited in our culture. And the same thing is true in terms of human sexuality in general. And to be able to explain that is your free speech right. And if they curtail that, well, then they're being bigoted. And, you pay the price for living in a bigoted culture.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you so much, Hank.
Yeah, I wish I could give a different answer, but I don't know a different answer than the one I just gave you.
You know, we all have to bear our cross, and none of us gets away from, you know, going as lambs and, you know, in the middle of the wolves.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Roman culture. Baby girls were not particularly blessed at that particular time in history. And so if you had a baby girl, you could leave it in front of a statue of Nero and have it expire, wailing all the time into the night air. Well, Christians stood against that kind of infanticide. And in the end, a Christian worldview overturned the predominant view of paganism in the culture. So here we are. We can either stand or we can be compliant and make no difference whatsoever. And I can hear in your voice your commitment to standing for truth, no matter what the cost. You're a real testimony, John. Thank you for calling. Coming to a station break, we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
In his profound book, The Theology of Illness, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher offers provocative proclamations on suffering and illness, such as, "There is no question that people today have far fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with illness." Simply put, The Theology of Illness will challenge your understanding of what true health really is. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. There's nothing wrong with good health, but as Professor Jean-Claude Larcher communicates in The Theology of Illness, good health is evil if it contributes to making a person indifferent to his salvation and keeps him away from God by giving him the impression that he is self-sufficient. Provocative and profound, Professor Larcher will challenge the way you view suffering, illness, and what it truly means to be spiritually healthy. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and going to go back to the phone lines in just a little bit, but let me talk about Black Hebrew Israelism. This is something that I'm asked about quite a bit, something that we've written about in the Christian Research Journal, and the problem with this movement, and it's very, very pervasive, particularly in America, is that it's based on genealogy, the idea being that blacks are Hebrew descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. It's also based on a pervasive racism, the idea that white people are the descendants of Gehazi, or Gehazi, who was cursed with leprosy, and thus he became white as snow. You can read about that in 2 Kings, I think it's the 5th chapter. And that whites are therefore uniformly wicked, unrighteous, rejectors of God. And thus, the Black Hebrew Israelites are called to come out of Babylon. They get that from Revelation chapter 18. In other words, to separate themselves from American culture. But there's another problem. Along with genealogy and racism, you have the modern-day Judaizers, which is to say the Black Hebrew Israelites hold to a strict compliance of Mosaic law, because in their view, the Old Testament has not been fulfilled, and thus salvation is relegated to keeping laws. Laws which, quite frankly, are a burden and are impossible for human beings to fully adhere to. It is laying a burden on people that is more than they can bear. But I think even beyond this, the Black Hebrew Israelites misunderstand plain language. For example, according to some Black Hebrew Israelite adherents, it is misguided to use the term Jesus. So if you use that term, you have made a horrible mistake. Instead, they say it is incumbent upon adherents to use the Hebrew rendering Yeshua. And again, you've heard that when Black Hebrew Israelites call me on the broadcast. You have to use the Hebrew rendering Yeshua. But here's what we need to be able to explain. The inspired New Testament is written in the Greek language. And thus the Hebrew Yeshua is appropriately rendered Iesus from the Greek. And Jesus, obviously in the English. Why is this so? It is because the Greek renders the Hebrew Y as an I, and the English renders the Greek I, or iota, as J. And thus the notion that the Hebrew Yahushua, or its contraction, Yeshua, is the only proper means of identifying the one whom we hold to be Messiah is tragically mistaken. This is something that we ought to communicate, particularly in light of the troubling rappers like Kendrick Lamar, who are today overtly promoting Black Hebrew Israelism, and young impressionable kids, including Christian kids, who think all of this is very, very hip. You know, when the rapper says memorably, "I'm not about a religion, I'm an Israelite. Don't call me black no more." This despite the notorious notion proffered by Kendrick that he is a direct descendant of the true biblical Israelites and that African Americans are justified through keeping Old Testament laws. And of course, there's many other problems with Kendrick Lamar because he has now become a standard fare for a broad range of Americans who rationalize foul language and braggadocio and illicit sex as an almost acceptable aspect of the urban subculture. And so you have this, well, you know, it's not that bad, but what he's communicating is very, very bad, and what he's dragging people into is even worse. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cheryl in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, you had talked earlier about the covering.
Yeah.
And, you know, is the blood of Jesus, when I think of covering, I think of, you know, the blood of Christ all over me. But also, Hank, you notice that I've been diagnosed with a mental illness. And every once in a while, you know, things just really scare me. And I know it says, do not fear, right? We're not supposed to be afraid, and that's not from the Lord. But yet there's things that I see all around me in this town of Calgary that I'll tell you, makes my head shake. And maybe it's just the times, but I'd really appreciate some of your wisdom a little more on the covering
Here's what I've tried to point out over the years is that there's a fascination with demons in the culture at large, but that has now led to so many perversions within evangelicalism itself. And a lot of it has to do with a robust deliverance movement, and one would be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme because the idea is whatever your personal problem, if it's depression or anxiety or substance addiction or even a runaway sexual appetite, well, there are exorcism ministries that will happily claim expertise for dealing with it. And there's always the bonus. The bonus is that you, for the most part, are not held personally responsible for your problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of them is the key to moral and psychological redemption. And the problem here is the fascination with the demons in the culture has led to a robust spiritual warfare movement which is capitalizing on the fact that Christians, by and large, have lost the ability to think biblically. And therefore, the postmodern believer has quickly been transformed from cultural change agent and initiator into cultural conformist and imitator. Another way that I've said this over the year is pop culture beckons and then postmodern Christians take the bait. And as a result, the discipleship model of spiritual warfare that I was talking about in the first segment has been largely abandoned. And it has been abandoned for all kinds of practices that are unbiblical, and therefore the solutions are not only unbiblical but inept. And that's why I wrote the book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And yes, there is lots of evil in the world, and I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying that if you want to deal with it in a biblical way, in the way that the historical church did, you have to recognize the power of putting on the full armor of God, which entails not only understanding it such that you can repeat it, but understanding it in the sense in which those pieces of the armor represent potent power against the evil forces that are readily apparent to you, not only in Calgary, but would be readily apparent to you all over the world. So I think it's important to put on the full armor of God, and then you can take your stand, and after you've done everything to stand. Hopefully that helps. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Stephen in Baltimore, Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Hank. It's funny, the theme appearing today, because it's all about spiritual warfare. Sort of, my question is, I am a Christian who suffers mental illness, OCD, and other things. And for a while I thought God was telling me to do things, to do this, the promptings of the Spirit, do that. And they weren't inherently against the Bible, or they weren't inherently wrong, but they certainly messed up my life. And now every single Christian I know, including my pastor, saying, you know, that wasn't God, that's not God. So my question is, at this point, if my brain is how I experience the world and reality around me, and it's ill, or I have mental illness, how do I discern what is true, what is real, what is really a prompting of the spirit?
Well, I think what you have to do is test all things in light of Scripture and then hold fast that which is good. And that testing ought to be taken not in isolation, but within the context of a proper expression of Christianity. In other words, within the body of Christ. And therefore, a priest or a pastor can give good counsel with respect to your situation. But remember, if you have a psychosomatic disorder, oftentimes the solution to the psychosomatic disorder is a medical solution. And so I think you have to look at the possibilities from a spiritual perspective, but also look at the possibilities from a medical perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And I thank you for saying that. Thank you. You take care in your ministry. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to answering your questions right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.